Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you are just joining us. An interesting first hour. And just to let you know that the programme is archived on our YouTube channel. You can watch it whenever you like, okay? Fast forward, rewind and what have you. We had Paul Williams on earlier on talking about the outcome of the Jerry Hutch trial. But also you can podcast the show in three separate hours on our website, highlandradio.com, and it's repeated overnight as well. So there is no reason for you to miss out if you're only tuning in here at 10. Regarding college fees in Northern Ireland, says the listener, and Susie, Republic of Ireland students can get a student loan from the UK Student Loan Company to cover their fees. I know because my child in second year is in Czech second year. Indeed, that's a loan. The Susie grant isn't, but a couple of you are coming in with that suggestion. So I wonder how tight the sort of, is it not means testing as such, but the credit rating testing is on that, if anyone has an insight into that. A caller says, I grew up on a farm where horses work day and night from crops to turf. There's no other machine like that today. Would you speak here, regard that as cruel? I suggest she might. That's from Animal Rising. We had a spokesperson from Animal Rising. Sarah was her name on the show yesterday. It's an interesting interview, by the way, if you want to listen back to that. But they are saying they're upping their game in terms of disrupting events and highlighting what they see is the ill treatment of animals. And that extends to food, not just horses, greyhounds and what have you. Greg, in the very beginning, God did not intend for humans to eat animals, but then the flood, Noah's flood by God, came and destroyed all that grew on the earth. So then God allowed certain animal foods for human consumption, but not all animal flesh was permitted to be eaten by mankind. Leviticus chapter 11, all of the chapter tells us which foods are clean and which are unclean for humans. So there's much more to know on the subject. Okay, I wonder how all the animals survived with nothing to eat, though, once all those crops were destroyed. Sarah from Animal Rising doesn't have much understanding about horse racing, as a lot of horses get injured at home in the field. Pure hypocrisy. Now, they are trained. Sorry, race horses, aren't they? They are not trained, but they are bred in such a way that their limbs are quite delicate, really. And if they break, that's it. But as I say, I don't know enough about it, really. I'm learning all the time. Hi, Greg. Welcome back. It was lovely to have President Biden here, and the people of Mayo should be very proud. The many thousands that came to see him, and also our own leader who really did a great job. So proud to be Irish. Okay, very good. Good morning, Greg. American President Biden, the most powerful man in the world, meets Irish President Higgins with no power whatsoever. And now I wonder, do we really need a president on such a high income and living rent-free in a castle? All he seems to do is sign paperwork. You see, the problem is though, the Irish president actually has quite wide-ranging powers. The problem is, though, that they don't employ them for the benefit of the people at times. A shift to conservatism and right, which is far from extremism, as is the popular term in the media. Now, when I talk about far right and far right, okay, there are, I don't use them in the context that maybe they're most broadly used nowadays. There is insults, you know, far left or left this or right that, right that. I still use them, to be honest with you, in the traditional sense, perhaps right being more conservative, left being more liberal. Now, there are shades within that, right? But I don't want to pigeonhole or group a whole load of people in with a certain phrase. I don't think we'll get anywhere unless we sort of understand each other more and talk a bit more. But I'll read this text from the beginning to the end. A shift to conservatism and right is a natural and long-required pushback to the unprecedented drive to the left, which often was and is extreme, witnessed over the past 10 years, three in particular. There's always a point where people will say enough is enough. I'm not standing for this any longer. That being said, the majority is still centrist. All studies show in this country, the left and the right make up about 35 to 40%. And the majority of people listening to this show, are centrists. They might agree with some elements of what the right, in inverted commas, might agree with in terms of maybe, you know, some of the things that we're seeing change, but they also mightn't agree with some elements of the left. But you don't hear, Daniel O'Donnell made that point actually really quite well in this program, you generally don't hear from them because they're perhaps not as motivated to have their say. Right, Lifeline, just before the break, excuse me, please. Lifeline in Ashon, that's the domestic violence service, by the way. They have a Go Purple Day coffee morning. Now, it's this coming Friday. at 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. It's in Wesley Hall, Carndonagh. You're invited to call in for a cuppa and wear something purple. It is optional, though, so if you don't have something purple, please don't let that put you off attending, is the message there. It's in association with Safe Ireland and On Garda Síochána. So it's a Go Purple Day coffee morning this coming Friday between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's in the Wesley Hall, Carndonagh. Call in for a cuppa, and I'm sure there'll be some treats there too, won't they? And you can wear something purple, but as I say, if you don't have something purple, you're not obliged to. You're still very much welcome. Right, okay. Greg, does the traffic lights on the four lanes turn red to let you turn right to Bonagie? I don't know, to be honest with you. I have no clue, but I'll try and find it out. I'm not being dismissive for a moment. I'll try and find out for you.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
Now, 18 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 18th of April, 2023. It's time for Community Garda information, and we welcome into studio Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny District. Grainne, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
Good
morning,
to have
Greg.
You in. Right, let's start with some appeals, as we always do. And Garda looking for the public's assistance in their investigation into a burglary in Muff.
Yeah, so this is quite a recent burglary. It happened at a house. This house is currently under construction at Leanamore Muff. The burglary is believed to have occurred between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. on Saturday the 15th of April. So the back door of the property was smashed, entry gained, and a number of sets of keys belonging to the property, to the doors of the property, were stolen from within the house. So a group of youths were seen in and around that area between those times. So we ask anybody who may have noticed these young people and who can identify them to make contact with us, if only to rule them out of our investigation. So if anybody observed any suspicious activity in that area during that two-hour time frame, we ask them to contact Gardaí an Bunchrana on 9320540.
Okay, a burglary also being investigated in Letterkenny.
Yeah, this happened on the Garth Lee Road area of Letterkenny on the same date, actually Saturday the 15th of April. Happened in and around 4:45 p.m. So the resident of that property arrived home. They discovered an unknown man standing at the rear door of the house. So this man, upon seeing that the resident had returned, took off running, headed off in the direction of Whitethorn. So the rear window of the house had been smashed, entry had been gained again, a number of rooms had been disturbed, and a small amount of cash had been stolen from the property. So this man was described as being quite tall, close to 6 foot possibly, with short hair. He was wearing blue jeans and a blue jacket. So anybody that may have seen this man in the area of the Garth Lee Road or in the area of Whitethorn, we would ask them to make contact with us. Or if anybody travelled in those areas, the Garth Lee Road or within the Whitethorn area, and who had a dash cam between maybe 4:15 p.m. and 5 p.m, we ask them to contact us also.
All right. And another burglary being investigated in Letterkenny a couple of days beforehand.
Yeah, this happened at a house in Fairgreen Park, Letterkenny. It occurred between 10 p.m. on Thursday the 13th of April and 4 p.m. on Friday the 14th of April. So damage was caused to the kitchen window, entry was gained to the property, and a CCTV system, the monitor and the hard drive, was stolen from the property. Quite an expensive piece of equipment. The key to the back door was also stolen from this property. Again, we appeal to other residents in that area just to make contact with us if they remember seeing any sort of suspicious activity between Thursday night and Friday evening in their area. And Gardaí and Letterkenny can be contacted on 9167100.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things going on here. I mean, they're all at different times and what have you. But these, it's not always in the cover of darkness that these things happen. So I think we always have to be alert and aware, don't we, Grainne, regardless of what time of the day it might be.
Yeah, and in fact, I was just looking back in the notes here, two of these burglaries occurred during daytime hours, during daylight hours. So we would just, it's unfortunate. We haven't had incidents of burglaries in recent times, and it's unfortunate to see these incidents starting to creep up again. So we would just ask people, if they see any sort of unusual or suspicious activity in their area, contact Gardaí immediately. You know, we would rather get a call to say that you've seen this to call out and realise that it was actually nothing. That's okay, we don't mind. But, you know, take the proactive approach. Ring us if you see any sort of suspicious activity. Contact Gardaí. If you do see any unusual activity, please note descriptions of the people involved, their cars, take their registration number if possible, and their direction of travel. And just keep an eye out for your neighbours, particularly maybe those who live alone or who are more vulnerable. We would ask people also to please review the security of their home if they haven't done so in a while. Check that the windows and doors are secure when they're locked, that they're not loose. And check that ensure that they're closed and locked up when the property's vacant. If you have an alarm, make sure you set the alarm when the house is going to be unoccupied. And don't leave implements such as tools, ladders outside your home, you know, to make life easier for these criminals to gain entry to your house. Ensure that your home's well lit up. Maybe now it's not so applicable now with the long
Yeah, but that being
evenings.
Said, and you see, there are little barriers we put up on ourselves in terms of, you know, say the cost of electricity and stuff. Yeah. It is quite a worry. People might not switch the outside lights on, but there are alternatives. There are solar lights, and these LEDs can be really quite bright off little power. I have a few that run off double A's, like eight, and they last for 6 months. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you can pick up those batteries quite handy. So for whatever reason, be it financial or just you haven't got around to it, illuminating the outside of your property is really a great defence. It's not in of itself, it's not a singular defence, but it's part of what you should be doing.
Yeah, and we have mentioned these dusk to dawn lights before. Mm. I have one at my own house and it lights up the back of the house like the Finn Harps pitch and match light. No, but it is great. It provides great light. You know, the whole, the back of the house and around the sides of the house all get lit up.
Like, it's a deterrent.
Of course it's a deterrent, yeah. So these people target homes mainly that are poorly lit. You know, the chances are that they're not going to be seen in and around the grounds. So do light up around your home.
Mm. And switch that alarm on, as you say. You know, I think we've all been guilty at times of maybe going, well, sure, I'm only going to be out of the house for half an hour. But
exactly.
These criminals are good at what they do. And you mentioned about tools and equipment. It's only a matter of time before you or one of your colleagues is in here on a Tuesday morning talking about, you know, high-value stuff being taken from a shed or an outbuilding. You know, maybe people are power-hosing the drive or they've got the lawnmower serviced or what have you. You know, we will see some of this stuff stolen. It's inevitable, you would almost feel, over the next couple of months. Treat your garage, if you're lucky enough to have one, or your shed as part of the house. It has to be secure.
Yeah, exactly. Lock up your same procedures with your house. Lock up your shed. And many people have expensive type of equipment in their sheds, these ride-on mowers and such. So do ensure that your shed's locked also, and especially when your home's going to be vacant, lock up the shed also.
Now, your valuables within the house too. Again, sometimes we can be a bit laxy-daisy. Firstly, ensure that you have a note of absolutely everything, because I'm sure you would see it all the time that someone's house is burgled, some jewellery stolen, and they only then realise, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later when they go for their ring or their earrings or whatever, that something else was stolen. So archive, picture everything and keep it in a secure place within your home, I would imagine is decent advice.
Yeah, so if you have expensive jewellery, for instance, do photograph it. Keep a register of all property serial numbers of expensive electrical items, for instance, and keep a register of all expensive items within your home. And also maybe if you have, so a lot of people might have antique jewellery or jewellery that's worth a lot of money, invest in a safe and ensure that safe is well secured and hidden within the home. And keep your valuables in it. We would advise people not to keep valuables at home, but obviously in cases such as jewellery, they don't have any option.
And then they have
home,
a distrust,
you know,
of where else they might be, right?
Yeah,
and also too, you might have everything locked up and everything secure, but you could have your keys in sight and you want to avoid that as well.
Yeah, avoid keeping your keys in sight of windows and maybe glass doors. You know, keep them out of sight. And large amounts of cash, you know, put it in the bank, keep it away from your home, because these people that come in, they want something handy. It's usually cash, something light that they're looking to lift and make their getaway. They want in and out within a few minutes. Yeah. So don't keep large amounts of cash at home.
And listen, I know there's people listening that have cash in a shoebox, probably in the top shelf in the cupboard. They have money perhaps in a fake coffee pot in the kitchen. I'm not giving anyone ideas. The burglars know all of this stuff. They might have it in an empty cornflakes box or something, you know. We are not that unique. If we are looking for a hidey hole, we tend to go to the same spots. And unfortunately, those that might violate your home will know those spots. And that's why you have to be extra careful, Grania.
Of course, yeah. These criminals are well clued in. Look, it's not their first rodeo. You know, they know where to check. They know the usual hiding spots within the house.
In a sock in your drawers, you know. And I'm only saying it in case it triggers with someone listening and they go, well, that's what I do, right? And it's only when you're burgled then. That's what ransacking's all about, presumably. They're going through those usuals, aren't they?
Of course. And the majority of burglaries, they pull out presses, drawers, you know, they go through everything.
Yeah, okay.
So really and truly, the best advice is large amounts of cash, bank them, keep them away from your home.
All right, okay, let's get back to appeals now. This is a criminal damage incident in Sessie O'Neill.
Yeah, so this criminal damage incident, this happened at a vacant house in the Sessie O'Neill area in the early hours of Saturday, the 15th of April, between 1 and 2 a.m. So the fire services attended the scene, extinguished the flames. There was substantial damage caused to this property. Thankfully, nobody was injured, nobody was in the home. It is a vacant, quite an old house that we're talking about here. So Gardaí are investigating all the circumstances surrounding this fire. They haven't ruled out the possibility that it may have been started deliberately. So the house in question, it's not far from Sheshanil Chapel, and Schooler are in quite close proximity to mm-hmm. each other. So the house is not far from either of those buildings. So we appeal to anybody who may have witnessed any activity in that area in the early hours of Saturday morning to contact Gardaí. Perhaps there may have been a lot of taxi drivers up and down that road. If anybody travelled on that road past Sheshanil Chapel between those times and in between 1 and 2 a.m. and had a dash cam, again, the taxi drivers, a lot of them would have dash cam footage. We would ask them to contact us. So Gardaí and Letterkenny, again, can be contacted on 9167100. And the Garda confidential line number, as always, is 1800 666 111.
And just to remind people again that the Garda aren't asking you to download this footage and edit it and forward it on. They can deal with the SD card, or if it's stored on board, you just can take that off and do the hard work.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, it's just a matter of dropping the SD card into the station to us, yeah.
All right, criminal damage this time at Emmett Park.
Yeah, so this happened in the Emmett Park area of Castlefin. It occurred at approximately 1 a.m. on Sunday the 16th of April. So a resident in that area, they were fast asleep in their bed. They heard a bang, glass smash, and went downstairs and discovered that the two glass panels in the front door of the house had been smashed. So a witness account would say that a man was seen running from the address and jumping into a car as a passenger before leaving the area. So we appealed to any road users who were in the area of Emmett Park who had a dash cam again to make that footage available to Gardaí. If anybody has any other relevant information in relation to this incident, they can contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Yeah, and damage to a property in Letterkenny too?
Yeah, at St Union's Court, Letterkenny, this incident happened between Thursday, April 13th at 7 p.m. and Friday, April 14th at 7 a.m. So between those times, a brick was thrown through the glass in the back door of a house. Entry wasn't gained to the house on this occasion. So we appeal to other residents, particularly in that area, that may have seen any sort of unusual activity in the area, to please make contact with us in Letterkenny on 9167100.
Yeah, really distressing for the people that are victims of that. You know, I mean, at first listen, you might think, well, it's two panes of glass. But can you imagine waking up and someone's, you know, you'd question their motives, you'd question why is it going to happen again. You know, it's really distressing for people, this kind of activity.
It is, of course. And your home's your haven, you know, it's your safe place. And as you say, you know, it is a criminal damage incident. No entry was gained to the home. But as you say, it causes worry, it causes upset and distress.
And anxiety
to the homeowners,
what's going
course,
on. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if there's young ones in the house, they might stop sleeping. I'm not saying that's in this case, by the way, because I have no knowledge of these cases. But I'm just saying, you know, every action has a consequence. And I'm sure it's really quite worrying for people. OK, so sun's out, bun's out. And the car abandonment is about to begin.
So Gardaí have started patrol in the beauty areas, the usual areas where tourists and locals alike park up to enjoy the sun, and we're waiting on the sun to come out for a long time. So I think over the past few days these tourists and beauty spots have been quite busy. So we're just asking, look, all visitors to beauty spots over the coming months, weeks and months, to please park responsibly. Ensure you're not blocking access for emergency vehicles, and be very aware also of the fact that there are local residents in these areas, you know, to park responsibly and not block access for them. Always take your rubbish home. The only thing you should leave behind are your footprints when you're visiting anywhere. You know, pack up your rubbish in a bag in the car, take it home, or find a nearby bin, dump it in there.
Go and say it. What's the only thing you should leave behind, Tigranya?
Your footprints.
Did you say it already? Sorry, I was zoned out. Do you know why? Because I was going to say, when you talk about access for emergency vehicles, so important. Slipways, again, you know, where an access to slipways, where, and you could be one of those people out in the water where people have to launch really, really quickly. It's not just that. It could be ambulance access to Merva Beach or something, or wherever it might be. We just have to consider, is enough space there for a fire engine, an ambulance, or a big truck, tractor towing a boat? Because it could actually be us, ironically, that they're coming to save, and it could be us at the same time as block their access. And we know every second counts, Grania.
It could, yeah. And as you said about the boats particularly, I mean, that's a life or death situation. Any sort of a hold-up could be the difference between life and death for the person that's in distress,
And you could have all your car windows locked. But if you leave your laptop or your bag or whatever is sitting on the front seat, it doesn't take much to smash a window, and you're dealing not only with the loss of your property, but damage to your vehicle as well.
Yeah, and it's actually amazing the amount of people that do leave handbags lying within full
view. Not a handbag, but I've done it myself.
Yeah,
I've come back and I thought, oh, Granny hasn't walked past the car, because I've done it myself. It's so easy to do, because you get you just forget about these warnings after a while. That's why you have to keep mentioning them.
Yeah, well, just look, our advice is ensure your car is locked. If you're leaving it, ensure it's locked. Leave your windows up. Don't leave valuables inside the car if you can help it at all. Don't leave jewellery, cash, electronics within the car. And certainly if it's a case that you have to leave it in the car, leave it out of view. You know, put it in the boot or put it somewhere out of view. And please don't do this when you get there, when you park up. Don't start arranging your handbag and your valuables and start hiding them within the boot, within the view of everybody. You don't know who's watching.
Yeah,
you know,
do
that before you leave home to go to your location.
Yeah.
And just again, very important, just we would ask the public, if they're out and about and if they see any sort of activity around parked cars, you know, people looking into cars and checking out cars, just contact the local Gardaí immediately. Gardaí have no problem calling out and checking out the area. It's better safe than sorry.
Right. Now, a question from a listener. And it's a tough one, this, because it kind of pitches one set of road users against the others, or people going about their business and people going about their work, and it's a sensitive one. So, I mean, obviously you're always very sensitive, Granny, but you know what I mean? I recognise that it's a tough one. The question is, a farmer has parked on the road while filling a slurry tractor in the field. Can a farmer block the road for 10 to 15 minutes to do this work?
Yeah, so the simple answer is that it is an offence to obstruct the flow of traffic in a public place. That being said, I know actually where this person, I was trying to figure out this scenario. I'm not big into the farming myself, and I was trying to figure it out, but I've done a few inquiries and I can picture now what the caller is asking. There's an overhedge boom, the pipe, you know, that the tractor sits on the road and then they fill the slurry and over the hedge into another machine in the field. So, look, you can't obstruct the traffic. But that being said, farmers have a very necessary job to do. And I think we all agree on in relation to that issue. And I think the vast majority of farmers are very conscious when they're out in a public place on a public road. You know, they do try to pull in to laybys and let the traffic move by safely as often as they can. So we would just like, look, we'll issue a reminder to farmers that if they are out in their tractor on a public road, if they become aware that the traffic's building up, please pull into the left, keep left when safe to do so. Let the other traffic pass by safely. So the slurry season recommenced on the 1st of February. There has been an increase in the volume of the agricultural machinery tractors out on the roads. Our advice to motorists is if you are travelling behind a tractor or other slow moving vehicle, please be patient. Don't be tempted to overtake in a dangerous manner. This question relates to a time period of 10 to 15 minutes.
Long,
that does seem a little bit now long, a bit extreme. It's unusual, you know, for a tractor to block the road for that amount of time. So in a case such as this, I would advise the driver, just blast the horn, you know, maybe make a sign at the farmer or make a sign just to say that you want by. Just, you know,
can we have some examples of the signs that are appropriate?
Of the an appropriate sign, make an appropriate sign to notify them maybe that you're in a hurry. And look, if it's a case that this tractor persists in blocking the road, then of course contact the Gardaí. The guards will call out. Just look, the use of common sense.
Common sense, that's
the practice of common courtesy for other road users.
It's like hedge cutting season when the council have the hedge cutters out. There are parts of the road where they can't facilitate you getting past them.
Yeah.
So you're behind them for 7 or 8 minutes. Then if there is a lay-in, they generally pull in and let you past.
They do.
We do live, agriculture and its maintenance is part of rural life, isn't it? So
it is,
it's not for the farmer to recognise that he's inconveniencing people, but also for us motorists to recognise that they kind of have a job to do too, and somewhere in the middle there, hopefully.
Yeah, there has to be a bit of give and take from both sides, you know. But I mean, if it is a case that you are there for a prolonged period and it seems, you know, unreasonable, I would just alert the farmer to the fact that you're waiting behind them, and hopefully if this doesn't resolve the issue, just contact the guards.
Yeah.
Guards have no problem calling out.
Right, okay. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 18th of April. It'll be available for you later on our Facebook page and on Garda Síochána Conor Facebook page, and head over there as well, because a list of contacts and phone numbers will be there alongside the piece on your page too, Gran, you won't it?
It will, yeah.
Okay,
no problem.
Excellent. Listen, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. That's Garda Grania Doherty there, who is from the Letterkenny Garda District. Back with more on the 9 till noon show in a moment.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
We're talking now about The Eye Care Autism Conference 2023, which is taking place in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel Buncrana on Saturday, the 29th of April. It runs from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and we're joined now by a number of guests to look forward to this. First, we'll say good morning to Liam Gill, who is the Eye Adult Manager. Liam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here.
I'm sure a lot of work goes into organising an event like this, getting the speakers selected and all that. I suppose it's nice now that it's just on the horizon.
Yeah, we don't have long to go now. It's in 2 weeks and thankfully the tickets are selling well and we're really, really looking forward to it. So we are.
This is the first conference of this type in Inishowen, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. We have like a wide range of guest speakers, so... Yeah, we're really delighted about it, aren't we, Dylan?
Yeah, and you've just mentioned Dylan Clark, who is an Eye Adult attendee and guest speaker at Eye Care Autism Conference. Are you looking forward to it, Dylan?
Yeah, pretty much looking forward to it. Also kind of nervous to speak on it as a pretty much speaker of it.
So. But if it's any comfort, I actually avoid invitations to things like this for those exact reasons. So if you're doing it, you've got one up on me. I'm not going to lie to you.
to be fair to you.
And people don't understand that because I can do this, but I'm outside of my comfort zone. I do try, but it's just not something. So what are you hoping to talk about on the day, Dylan, without giving too much away, I suppose?
Probably to talk about my experience with autism and how I've grown up to it as person I've been now, and also about inclusion as well with autism as well.
So. Yeah. So you initially availed of these services, but now you're kind of involved in providing them, aren't you, Dylan? You're a volunteer.
Yeah, that's right, because I started with Eye Care since I was a kid when I first diagnosed with autism, and pretty much ever since I've grown into it as a volunteer as of right now. So, yeah, pretty much happy to pretty much provide. Mm. With it and help out.
And that's an important service, isn't it, Liam? Because in terms of some services, it can kind of be a cliff edge, can't they? It's nice to see then that that support and engagement continues into adulthood.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And like, I'm a parent myself, like, and from my son was diagnosed with autism, it was a lifeline for us. It's really a vital service. Going back then, there wasn't many, like, different like autism groups even, and to be honest, like when my son first got diagnosed with autism, I had never heard of the word, like, so we've got now like this SIF secure centre where children and young people, adults now can just be themselves and they can learn different skills, and it's just like it's like heaven for them.
And how has that, I mean, how has that helped in his development and growth? In other words, just sometimes you ever consider where you all might be if people like yourself weren't working and providing the services the likes of Eye Care do? Because there is gaps there in terms of the services that are provided by the state. Let's just put it as it is.
Yeah. It has been like a lifeline. Looking at like different gaps, like when like a Christmas Day, I remember taking him down to the centre on Christmas Day. But not only that, we were able to get respite every week. We were able to get a few hours for the whole family. So the siblings got respite. Myself and the wife was able to go off and do different things. We have had like access to support. There's been like speech therapy, occupational therapy, all different things provided by Eye Care over the years. And it's been really, really beneficial. And you've seen how it's benefited Ryan himself, like with even those social skills, being able to... They mix with his peers, mix with other, like, even siblings and all too. So, it's been valuable.
Yeah, okay. Let's stay where you are, because I want to welcome onto the programme now a keynote speaker at the event. It's Adam Harris, who is the founder and CEO of As I Am. Good morning to you, Adam. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good morning. Great to be here.
These types of organisations like Eye Care, it's amazing what they do, and it's just by coincidence. Yesterday we were talking on the programme that it's often those that have family members or are affected by, you know, things that find themselves having to create the supports for themselves and others around them. I mean, it's amazing what they do.
It's absolutely critical. And I mean, the reality is if we didn't have groups like iCare across the country, many people would simply go without support. And I think that's particularly true when we go outside the Dublin area, where very often, you know, services are even more sparse on the ground. And it's really only by the initiative and leadership of autistic people and parents that groups like this get put in place and people get that vital support. I mean, just a few weeks ago, ASIAM published a report called the Same Chance Report that documents the experiences of over 1,600 people in Ireland who are autistic and the barriers they face in day-to-day life. And, you know, the reality is 86% of autistic people don't believe that we get the same chance in society. And I think it's groups like iCare that are breaking down those barriers and giving people the opportunity to participate.
Why do we, as a society, as a state, not spend money in this area? Because we know these people exist. We know they need the support. We know their families need the support. But either a decision is made or not made to not help people that are crying out for helps and supports. Why do you think we don't provide the funding and the support for these people that really any properly functioning society actually should?
I think it's a real, I suppose, in many sense, a lack of vision, because I think what people need to understand is this is a question of not if, but when. If you choose not to invest and not to put in place the support that people need when they are younger, the reality is you're simply kicking the can down the road. And people who could contribute and live independently end up finding themselves in a scenario where they're dependent on mental health services, dependent on social welfare services, and really isolated in the community instead of having that opportunity that everybody should have, which is to fully participate on an even keel with everybody else. I think investment is obviously an issue, and there'll never be enough investment in this area. The other reason why I think our services are so challenged is often the lack of understanding of the needs of autistic people, number one, and number two, the lack of effective planning for those needs. So to just give you an example within the school system, as an autistic person, when I was diagnosed in the late 90s, most autistic people were segregated, attended special education. And on paper, we've made a really significant progress since then. Nearly 90% of autistic children either attend mainstream school in the same classroom as everybody else or in an autism classroom. But
at the same time, too, a lot of the people that are employed to work with those children in that environment that you talk of because of issues in the education system are finding that they don't have as much time to dedicate to those students as they're allocated. So even that progress you talk of, we're going backwards in that regard, certainly in the case of families that I speak to.
Precisely, because I guess my point is we've moved people into settings and we think that's inclusion. That's not necessarily inclusion at all. For example, there's no mandatory training in autism for teachers. So we have children attending autism classes where the SNAs and the teachers haven't been able to access the training that they need. There's the reality that when people go to school, a lot of the supports they need in the classroom simply aren't there. So sometimes I think on the surface it looks like we've made progress, but in reality we haven't had the sort of cultural change that needs to happen for people to really, really benefit and be included in a practical way.
Presumably this will form part of your talk on Saturday the 29th in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel. What other points will you be hoping, well I'm sure you're beyond hope that you will be getting across, Adam?
So I think, you know, it is World Autism Month, and indeed when I'll be in the show, we'll be coming to the end of World Autism Month. And it's a really important opportunity for us to educate the broader community, broader stakeholders, like in education and healthcare, about the barriers autistic people face. But I think what's interesting is sometimes when I talk to autistic people and families during this month, they say, you know, April really annoys me in a sense, because we see all this talk about autism, but my life will still be the same in May or June or July. And I suppose what my message will be about showing the steps people can take in their everyday lives. Everybody can play a role to remove barriers for autistic people and give us the same chance. So I'll be focusing on the things family members, friends, professionals can do to meaningfully engage and participate and support the participation of autistic people. We all have a role to play if we want autistic people to have the same opportunities within society.
For sure, and I'm sure there are those who would be very interested in attending this conference but won't be able to because they might not be able to get respite care on that particular day.
And what I would love to say as well to those who can't be with us on the day is that I hope, for example, if you haven't been in touch with ASIAM to date, that it will also be an opportunity for me to maybe introduce the work that we do. ASIAM operates an autism information line. We launched that service in late 2021, And since then, we've supported over 5,000 people. So if you're listening to this morning and you're facing some of the barriers we're talking about in terms of access to services, in terms of participation in the community, what I'd be really saying to people is please do get in touch with us, because we can provide guidance and support, or may be able to refer you onto one of our group-based support programs, which take place both in person but also online for wherever you are in the country. So what I would be saying is, even if you can't be here there on the day, if you're hearing me now, and know that we are there as your organisation to support you, and you can reach us on 1800 234 234.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Adam. We look forward to you visiting us here in Donegal. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Okay, so we heard from Adam Harris there, founder of and CEO of As I Am. He's going to be a talker on the day. And we also have Dylan Clark, who's a young autistic adult, a member of iCare. And you're going to talk on the day, as you mentioned, Dylan, a little bit about how autism affects you. Do you want to maybe give us a little bit of an insight now?
I found out I diagnosed with autism around 12 to 13, beginning of my teenage year. Having even, what you call it, let's say, speech therapy around 6 or 7, since I was in childhood. So, yeah, that pretty much started from early childhood, from onwards to where I've been right now. So, yeah.
And a lot of things that people may take for granted, you know, that might say, for instance, involve big crowds, that's a difficulty for you, isn't it? That's something that you have to try and overcome in your life.
Yeah, it is, because like it's times like crowded areas, it lies kind of like claustrophobic way. So it's just don't like being in big crowds scenarios. Like, let's say, for example, being at the football game, like going to Liverpool game or any type of any kind of scenarios, to be fair.
Where do you find, I mean, I note here that you enjoy kayaking. Is that particularly something you enjoy because you're out there in the open water?
And pretty much in the sea, like enjoying it, what you call it, the activities pretty much there, like nature all around kind of scenario. So, yeah, they're pretty much happy with it.
Yeah, and I mean, as you say, you know, you're learning lots and lots of skills, but I understand your mother would like you to put a little bit more attention into your cooking skills. Is my information correct there?
To be fair, I've been a lot of cooking in life, in fairness.
And you mentioned Liverpool. You are a big Liverpool fan. They 6-1, was it last night?
Yes, it is 6-1, to be fair.
So that was a good night for you, anyway.
It is, to be fair, a good night. All right.
Excellent stuff. Well, stay right where you are. As we've heard from Adam and Dylan, Liam's with us as well. Liam, so in terms of attendance at the conference, as many people as possible to attend, of course.
Yeah.
How do you pre-register or turn up on the day, or what way are you running it?
So what you can do is you can purchase tickets through Eventbrite, or else you can go into the iCreate charity shop, that's iCare charity shop in Main Street, Buncrana, or call in the iCare Centre to purchase tickets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And you've been working in helping people, Liam, for a long time, and it was great to see you receive a National Award for Excellence in Support and Development for Young People with Autism. It's a nice thing for you to achieve personally, of course.
Yeah. And as you say, like, it's all down to all the parents, and we have a great board of directors too. Some of them aren't parents as well too. So,
and it's tough, and I've spoken to people involved in different organisations, and sometimes you feel like you're treading, you know, you're trying to walk in quicksand, and you make some gains and then you feel like you're knocked back, and that's just the organisation, and then you have to deal with everyday life as well, and it's not just it's everything. It's your mortgage. It could be mica. It could be defective concrete. But I think people know what I mean. And yet people like yourself and others, Liam, find time then to help others, and I just think that's really quite remarkable.
Yeah. Well,
I've said it before. I sound like a scratched record, but what? It's a nice thing to say. So
it's just like giving back too, and it is rewarding work. So it is, and for me myself, like when Ryan was diagnosed, I felt that was me, like doing something for his autism, and me just even if it was out fundraising or if it whatever it was, it was helping other children as well too.
Yeah, okay. So the conference is, it's the iCare Autism Conference 2023. I don't think people can travel from all over to this, by the way. It's not just people involved with eye care.
Oh, no.
This will draw a crowd from right across the region, I've no doubt about it. Doreen Friel, Joan McDonald, Sally Murphy, Adam Harris, who we heard from there, Denise Doherty, Dr. Susan Crawford, Shane McKenna, and Dylan Clark will all be speaking on the day. I was going to leave you out just to see if you would pull me up in it, but I thought I can't do that, Dylan. Listen, it's another box ticked when you've this done.
Yeah, pretty much a box ticked through my bucket list. So, yeah, pretty much happy to speak out with my experience.
Yeah, and what's inclusion to you?
Inclusion is belonging. Inclusion begin with you.
Yeah.
It's the quote I bring up a few years ago, I think it was. So, it's beginning with myself and also belonging to what you call other people as well. So, it started with a person as I am and it continue on.
All right, listen, well done, Dylan. It's been lovely having you on the programme. Thanks for travelling down. That's Dylan Clark. So if you want to catch him speaking, you can do so at this conference. Right, okay, so there's a number of young adults working with iAdult. Can I name them, Liam? Yeah. Is that okay? Olivia, Connor, Ryan, Aidan, Chloe, Orla, Sean, Alex and Ronan, all the young people who attend iCare and the Sonneth Youth Club as well. We want to say a big hello to them. Is that all right? Okay. And anything else I need to mention, Liam, do you think?
No, just that everybody's welcome to the conference. And we've got like guest speakers, as I said. They're coming from all around Ireland too. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be something for everyone there to take away. So I would really recommend coming to our conference. It's going to be great.
Excellent. Brilliant stuff. All right. Okay. Thank you very much again. Those were the voices there of Liam Gill, the iAdult manager, award-winning, of course, and Dylan Clark, who is an iAdult attendee and also a very special guest speaker at the iCare Autism Conference. Dylan, lovely having you down.
Thank you.
And we also heard from Adam Harris, of course, who's founder and CEO of As I Am.